My name is Frank Dirks for Catholic Radio in South Carolina, and I'm delighted and honored to be here today with the Bishop of Charleston, Jacques Fabre-June. Your Excellency, thanks for allowing us to have this time with you today.
Good morning, Mr. Dirks, and it's my pleasure. And I first thing I want to do is to thank you for what you're doing, because you are the voice of the church. You become evangelizer so yourself. You evangelize through the radio. Not too many people are. By the way, how many people listening to the radio? Do you have any idea?
Well, thousands of people. I just spoke to someone this last weekend who said, I keep Catholic Radio in South Carolina on all the time, and it's so nice to put a face with your voice.
You could imagine how many people you are reaching out, and we thank you for that, and we'll be praying always for you, and it's a pleasure to share this day with you.
Well, thank you so
and
much.
And with your listeners.
Well, you're absolutely right. Catholic radio is a wonderful means for evangelization, and I know that that's a priority for you, and it is woven throughout your five-year plan. How is that coming, and how do you see evangelization being that binding thread through it all?
Before I answer you, I don't know if you ever thought about it. The name of the radio, Catholic Radio, so it's universal, although that it's in a specific location, which is South Carolina and the Diocese of Charleston, but it becomes universal because you never know, especially with the media, you don't know where, who's listening, maybe someone passing through. And church, which is Catholic radio, and the church is a family, so it becomes a family. So I'm happy to be part of it. Now, the five-year plan, when you see the five-year plan, we can say it's a whole lifetime plan. And it's not new, and as I mentioned it so many times, it's a copycat of what the church is, which is the RCIA. We don't call it RCIA anymore. We call it the Order of Initiation for Christian Adult. So it's different. It's like it becomes like an order. It's not something that you have to do. It becomes part of our way of catechize the adults. So that's the base for it. And so the first year last year, it was the National Eucharistic Year. So we emphasized, we did our Eucharistic Congress in Colombia. That was the first, as you mentioned last time, was the first experience in of the upstate or in our diocese to go out with the body of Christ. It's the way to say that's what we believe. That's the core of our faith. So that's 2024, and 2025 would be the Kerygma. And after Mass on Sunday, someone said, I feel that you brought the joy of the gospel. And that's what it is, the good news. The good news, we have so many bad news. And by the way, what we're doing is the contrary. And it reminds me of what we celebrated yesterday, which was Our Lady of Immaculate Conception, which was in the Old Testament, in Genesis. Satan brought bad news to Eve, and the angel brought good news to Mary. And so that's what we want to do, always bring good news to others. And 26 will be to understand the faith, the catechism. You know? And 27 will be to celebrate the faith, receive, give people the possibility to be in harmony with the church, which is they can receive communion. And sometimes, you know, they are into a former marriage that they have to annul and make it easy so they can easy in the sense of not make it, you know, like in to that people can go and get married and divorce. No, if it's possible for them to go back and reconcile with themselves and with the church and receive communion and go to confession. So that's the celebration of the faith. And of course, the Eucharist, which is every day. And the other good news, I was in Clemson on Sunday, and I heard that there are 70 young people going to church every single day.
Oh, praise God. That's wonderful.
And being in college, that's good news. Mm-hmm. We don't hear those good news yep. often. And there are 300 of them every single week. They gather in a hall at St. Andrew's Church in Clemson, and they reflect on scripture questions with the pastor, who is also the chaplain for campus ministry, with their campus ministry. So therefore, this is what the catechism, to celebrate the faith and to serve others, because to believe is one thing, but to live what we believe, and that's what service comes. And we're not talking about helping, giving things to people. It's serving the whole human person, the soul, the mind, the body. And finally, we go into mission to continue to spread the good news. So if that cycle should be going around again another 5 years, so until we have everyone who is eligible to hear the good news, is hear it through us, because scripture said if we don't proclaim it, the stone will.
Absolutely. And when you talked earlier, you mentioned kerygma, and for many listeners that might be a word that they're not as familiar with as they should be.
It's a Greek word that means to proclaim, as I've said, and the proclamation is, it's just one line. But it's so powerful, it's a mystery. Jesus died, resurrected, rose from the dead, and will come again. So therefore, if I believe, you know, from death to life, then I hope there will be a life, which is when Jesus come, which is, by the way, we are in Advent. So we have to, we can say there's an Advent, because before the coming of Christ, which was the people of Israel was waiting for the Messiah, and Jesus came. So that was an Advent for them. Now, from the birth of Jesus to the second coming, it's another Advent, that we're waiting for that second coming. So therefore, I have to live my life according to a personal hope that I will be with God forever. And that's what we call heaven, we call the kingdom of God. And of course, every single day is an Advent. Open my heart so Jesus can come. And I was saying during celebrating Mass the other day, I never thought about it, but every Eucharist, there's an Advent. We begin to ask forgiveness. We listen to the Word of God. That's an Advent. So we encounter Jesus in the Word. Then we continue. And then when we receive communion, there's an Advent. So there's every moment during the liturgy, it's a little Advent, we can say. And of course, our lives will come to an end. So at least that we are sure that we will die. So therefore, we have to continue live that Advent, waiting to let Jesus come into our hearts.
Well, and you also mentioned being a witness, and that's really what the apostles were after Jesus rose to heaven, ascended into heaven. They were witnesses. They spoke to what they saw. Their testimony was about Jesus in their lives and what Jesus meant for them, just as every day Jesus comes to us if we receive him in communion, and we are witnesses to that.
True. And most, I think the first thing is to experience that encounter. And if it comes into our hearts, it brings joy to us, because we experience that joy, then we can share with the others, because there is no way you can experience Jesus and keep it to yourself. It's so powerful, and we see it in scripture. Whenever Jesus said, don't say anything to anybody, they will go out and spread the word, because it was too powerful for them. Jesus didn't want them to confuse of the Messiah, the political Messiah they were expecting, but it was too powerful for them to keep it for themselves.
Well, God's love is such an overwhelming font that it just washes through us and to those around us if we're open to that and we're willing to let that happen.
Exactly. And going back to the witness, the young people are looking for that witness. they are tired of everything. They've listened to a lot of confusion, and they begin to understand that the truth is somewhere else, and that's what I think we can present to them.
Well, in that witness too, because we're all called to be that witness, why do you think it is that Catholics, who have this incredible grace of receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity, why are Catholics not always associated with evangelization? If you encounter them, or if you see a Catholic out there, people will say, it's not often that I see a Catholic on the street evangelizing. And yet we have the gift of Christ in us through the Eucharist, right?
Someone said that we are a tired church, an old church. Remember, when you've been doing something for many years, we have to be careful. It becomes a routine. However, those who are from different denominations, other Christian churches, they came from us. But for example, in the past, when you had all the first in South Carolina, you have the first Irish Catholics, and they had to present the faith in a forceful way because they are a minority. So I believe that we just have to regain what we call the missionary spirit, and that's what the Pope is asking us, to be disciples and missionaries. So you have to be a disciple first, then you become a missionary. Going back, so I think we don't have probably to stay, and I've seen during the cold, and you've seen people sharing pamphlets. Then us, we have varieties of way of doing it, for example, at work, in school, and that's what I'm asking. I ask the young people who are confirmed on Sunday. We are 26 in Colombia, and I ask them to reach out to 10 others and to share the good news. So that's the way they can do it. And for example, last year we had 2,300 plus confirmants. So if you could imagine, if everyone would talk with three, so we'd have 6,000. We don't have to do it on the street. So we have ways. We just have to be aware of, we have to be a missionary, and that the Pope said it's a church in the periphery that goes out, doesn't wait people to come in. And I think that's this attitude that we have to have and catechize and teach, especially young people, not being afraid of sharing their faith.
My name is Frank Dirks for Catholic Radio in South Carolina, and I'm here with our Bishop of Charleston, Jacques Fabre-Jeune, and we're talking about evangelization and the five-year plan with the diocese. And Your Excellency, you mentioned the missionary calling that our Holy Father has challenged the Church to engage in. If you'll permit me, I look at your life in service to the Church, and I see a missionary priest at heart. What have you found in your travels with parishioners and Catholics and soul-seeking Christ? What have you found that is really stood out when you look at laity who are evangelizing and sharing the good news?
Let me give you an experience that I had Saturday. I was in Colombia because I had to go to Greenville, to Clemson. And I said, let me sleep over so I have less traveling in the morning at 11 to dedicate a new church. It's been built, but it was not blessed. It was such a beautiful experience. We had 350 young people at Mass. When I called the young people, the church went empty. The pews went empty because there were more young people than adults. And so Saturday I called Deacon Jerry, who's in charge of youth and is a director of youth and young adult ministry. So I said, there's a difficulty, something that I wanted to ask him a question about. And he said, we are with the 18. So if I ask you, for example, you are Catholic, you are practicing. If I ask you, what is the 18? Do you know what the 18 is?
I do not.
Exactly. And that's what I've said last night at the cathedral. We have so many good news. We don't share the good news. And that's why I appreciate what you're doing. And ask you to get to know all the details when it comes, anything that has to do with the evangelization, mm-hmm. that you can share it with more thousand and plus. So that is it's evangelization team, ET. There are young people that are on formation, and every year they have a rally for young people. Last year it was probably almost 2,000 altogether. So this is young people, and I said, where are you? I was nearby. I said, okay, I'll go and visit you. He said, the young people will be happy to see you. And he said, what time are you coming? I said, I might be coming in 10 minutes. He said, but because we have to go to church in the afternoon. I said, why do we have to go to church? Because we don't have any priest to celebrate for us. And I said, why not? Well, they're all busy. I said, okay, I will celebrate Mass with you, with the young people, so they don't have to go to Lexington, which is about half an hour outside of the camp. So I did celebrate with them, and I gave them the opportunity to ask questions, Q&A. So that was beautiful. It was probably 45 minutes, an hour, but well lived. And that the kind of thing that uplifted me to say that the church is not dead. The church is there. You just don't share. Not even I didn't know they were because they have their own program. But it's one of the examples that I encounter. And as I've said, going to Mass, celebrating Mass Sunday morning and confirmation, and I see people are willing to listen. They are willing to share their faith. They chose to be need that. They have to be enthusiastic by the pastors. The pastors we have to have the zeal so that others, and I hear. Even the next morning, some of the young people went to their home. How they were happy to celebrate. It was a big surprise for them. So therefore, I think little things we can do, not complicated programs. Sometimes we think that in order to evangelize, we have to have that amount of money, that amount. But it's simple things we do every single day. And that's what I encounter. I encounter a church who is alive, a church who is growing, because each pastor I encounter, they will say, we have more people coming to church than ever. So therefore, that's what I experience in a nutshell.
Well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And with young people, too, they're so thirsting for really what God has to offer. They may not know it, but that's what they're searching for. And when they encounter it, it just brings them such joy and such a willingness to engage with others.
Yeah, and I usually call them to come forward. During Mass, which is not something common, but I think that's where I can see they are very attentive. And you can see when you ask them questions, and for example, they don't know that Immaculate Conception is the patroness saint or mother that of the U.S. Mm-hmm. So each country have a patron saint or Mary. So Immaculate Conception, that's what, when I came here, we used to work at the chancery on that day. So we're off. So people can go to church, and it remind us, I was doing the comparison with the children. If you see Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is the 12, all Mexicans know that, or most Catholic, they know it's the patroness of Mexico. But if you ask children here about Immaculate Conception, they don't know. So that's the kind of work that I'm doing, so that they become part of the church language, become part of their language, of their understanding. And let me ask the question, then perhaps I will say what I think.
Certainly.
If you observe most of the parishes or our communities, who are involved? Children, young people, or adults?
Those that I'm familiar with, I would say mostly adults, and mostly adults who are retired.
So if it is true, like in a family, we do give participation to children when we have any celebration in the family, any activity. Why in the church activity we don't give participation to the young people? That's my question. And that's why when they ask me if there's one vision which is different than any other vision, I know the challenge is with the young people, and I really believe there are many reasons for them not being in church or participating. But one of the things that I think if we do, and I've done it in the past and it worked, is to give participation to young people. You know, for example, if there's a confirmation celebration, why not having those who did their confirmation last year to be part of the choir, to be part of, to be lectors, ministries, to welcome those that are coming. So if they see other young people welcoming them, so they will, the tendency, they will remain and participate them, and they will stay in church. If I am a priest and a bishop, it's because my church, my communities that I live in Haiti and also here, gave me the opportunity. I was a lecturer all my life until I went to the seminary. And so I was a Boy Scout, of course, and we used to have once a month, there, you know, in New York, 100 young people will sing. Of course, not me, because I don't have a, I was there. I don't have a nice, beautiful voice. But the young people would get dressed in our Boy Scout uniform, so we will sing the 1 o'clock mass. Mm. So that's the activities that I feel if we give our young people participation, we might have them in church.
Oh, that's beautiful. And that, you know, and service and service and practice begin in youth. You mentioned something earlier in our conversation, that and that was reconciliation. And when I think of youth and the need to get into good habits, you know, participation, I think of reconciliation as one of those things, because I think many Catholics find reconciliation intimidating, difficult, and yet it's the most beautiful gift that our Lord has offered, this opportunity to reconcile, to reconnect with Him. And why do you think it's so difficult for some Catholics to overcome that?
First of all, my experience with many priests and even myself, when someone would walk in the confessional space, I know it's difficult for that person to accept his or her guilt. And I am Jesus for that person. And my question, even if I would ask myself the question, how will Jesus react in front of that situation? And to make sure if the person enters the confessional crying or with fear, will come out smiling. Not smiling because happy because I've sinned, but happy because I've found the grace of God. And in all my experience, I never put, like I've seen, except when I was a vicar in one parish, it was Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. If you don't have time, if you work, you will never find time to go to confession because the priest only put that time. But what it was, if we were one or two or three, even two of us in a parish, I would put half an hour before Mass. One who is celebrating, because I don't like to hear confession before preaching, because if someone says something, you already prepare the homily. There is no way that the person, let's say the person committed an abortion and you had that you have to change it because it's no way, the priest is talking about what I've just said. But if the other priest who is not celebrating Mass hear confession and so the following Mass. So that's the best way to evangelize. And I've seen all the parishes I've run where I work because of that. So I think that's the first thing, is not to have a specific time that people can receive the sacrament, not according to my schedule, the schedule, but the schedule of the people who work, who have family. So we have to think about that. And the other thing, as I've said, is to be Christ-like for that person. The person does not come into confessional or the sacrament of confession to be chastised, to be reminded of the sin that the person already admitted that I committed. That's why the person will go to confession.
What are some ways, and again, I'm thinking in terms of the young people that that you want to engage, and we must engage as a church. That is the future of our church. What are some ways that quiet...
And also the present. Yeah. Because whenever you have young people, and I've said it, I was tired Sunday morning after driving 3 hours going to Greenville back to Columbia. But when I saw those young people, the enthusiasm, it revives me. You know, their energy, built energy in me, or spirit, not to say energy. Yes,
yeah. No, that's beautiful. That's exactly right. They are full of energy. And when that energy is infused with God's grace, it's a beautiful and wondrous thing. But some things that all Catholics, young people and others, can do to just be a witness publicly, you know, whether it's doing the sign of the cross for grace at a restaurant, is, you know, whether it's walking in public with a rosary while reciting it. What are some ways that Catholics can live their faith openly, you know, without feeling like they have to stand on a street corner, but nevertheless, let the world see, this is my faith, this is what God has, this is the grace that God has given me through the sacraments and through my my being part of this church?
One thing I experienced I lived outside of the States and also in New York, here in the South, there's a respect for clergy. If I would go anywhere, stop for gas, and a person will see me and say, "How are you, preacher?" Because they don't know what a priest is. So I will take time to let them know if I go to a barbershop and I talk about God. And I see people are open. And so I would say, the first, it's interesting, we begin to see the beginning of Lent, Ash Wednesday. That's a good moment to people sometimes go and receive the ash and they erase it so people don't see them. I even see some of Catholics in the news media. And that's one signal that is pertinent to us. So therefore, I think that will be the first public witness. And the other one is to have a rosary, and I know that you have yours. And people will ask, because if you see a lot of Muslims, you know, when I was in New York, in the sober, I would see someone with the beads, and I think that I was a Catholic, but he was a Muslim doing the, and at the airport, they can stop anytime to pray. So if, for example, if we have certain time during the day that we're supposed to be praying, even if we are not at Mass, so why not do that? Not to show off, but a natural communication in prayer with God, and people will ask. And we have a lot of people. Last year we had 814 non-Catholic coming into church, and I think this year I've been asking for a number. I think we might have the same amount or probably a little bit more. So therefore, someone is doing that witness to bring others to church. And again, on Sunday I saw a Chinese lady. She was going to be baptized on Monday. So therefore, someone is doing that evangelization.
If you and I were to sit down at the end of 2025 and have a conversation about how the year transpired within the five-year plan, what would you say would be signs of success that would make you feel satisfied with progress in this year to come?
When I ask how many young people are going to church or being part of any process, either catechism or youth group, last year we had about 6,000. And I'm telling the young people, I think we would make a step forward if we have 10,000 active in church. When I mean just not being part of the process, but being active, 10,000. That would be a big sign and a visible sign. I really believe that pollution, even if we don't see it, it affects our lives. The same thing with the spirit. When the spirit is polluted, we feel it, the density in our atmosphere. And I'm sure if the good news goes throughout South Carolina, from in north to south, from east to west, we will feel something different. So we will feel something different. We'll see, as they say in the South, there is that hospitality. Is really when I see people visiting, and they say it's palpable. You can touch. You can feel it. It's tangible. There's a young man from Atlanta who went to Chicago, and he said he was saying good morning, and people were looking at him like if he had two heads. What's going on with you? Where are you? So when we I believe that if we share that good news, the hospitality will not be only human hospitality, will feel a spiritual environment. I really believe that. So if when I feel it around, and I said that thing that we've made some steps.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. And we all have a part to play in making that happen.
Definitely.
Well, Your Excellency, thank you so much for your time today. Would you be willing to close in a prayer?
Certainly. The waiting and already have the presence of Jesus, God, who became flesh, not in a big palace, but in the manger as an infant, in order to help us to be humble, to accept the little things, and with God, make it such a large impact on other people's lives. I thank you, Lord. We pray for those who are not yet understanding that mystery that becomes part of the commercial celebration of Christmas instead of the time of peace, love, a God-given moment to love us so that we may experience during the weeks of Advent that preparation so that we can celebrate life. And ask you to bless every child, every young person, every family, everyone who is living without someone to love them, to accept them, to receive them. Everyone who is living in fear of the past, fear of the presence, of the present, fear of the future, so that they can trust you and feel your presence through us, your church, your body, and bless them. Bless all our Catholics and all those who are participating in that project of sharing the good news, the kerygma, the life-giving word, your word, and receive you in the Eucharist. Bless all of us. Bless our church. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.